Welcome to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast for November 26th. How are you doing today, Ariel?
Doing great. Missing our friend Xavier, though. He's stuck doing a terrible thing. I feel bad for him working with a rental car.
Yes. I feel like rental car operations never quite work the way they're supposed to.
No, I've been in that situation recently with some travel of getting stuck picking up a car for much longer than I thought, and he's stuck returning a car. So I feel sad for him, but the show must go on.
Hence, here we are, as we, I think, are struggling to come back from our Thanksgiving. Here we are on a Monday morning. Ariel's making big eyes.
It's tough. I mean, you know, it's like you need a vacation from your vacation, as always. But travel, hosting people, all that is a little tiring. But I'm happy to be back. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Ate some good food.
And I hope you've all bought lots of Christmas presents and stuff from local stores. If you need a reminder, both the Humble Hustle Clothing Store and Treehouse Collaborative have a lot of great Christmas presents available for folks.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, as a small business owner, it was very encouraging to see everybody come out on Saturday and support not just my business, but also the businesses of our co-small business owners, even though it was kind of nasty on Saturday until like 3 p.m. It was raining, so I was bummed out when I woke up, but then people still showed up. So you guys really know how to make it work. So many thanks. Let's jump into what's happening. This one's a fun, this story fun, was fun to read.
It was. I have to confess to not being a Pokemon fan, but apparently there were a bunch of them at the Berglund Center recently for a competition.
You mean you don't know about Pokemon or you don't like it?
I know. It's not neither. I know of it. I don't dislike it. It has just never
caught my thing. Yeah. I mean, same, but I'm happy to see that it's still as popular as it was back in the 90s when it was originated, even the card game, not just the digitized versions. And fans of Pokemon from all over the region, all ages, came out to compete in card and video game competitions. And seemingly it was a really successful event.
Yeah, it's. I like this idea of all these different kids anywhere. I mean, I think they mentioned folks as young as like 6 and 9 years old, all the way up to 20s and above, getting together and having fun, which is, I think, a fun kind of thing to see.
So. Yeah, absolutely. It's like that classic image in, you know, New York City of like a kid playing chess with an older person and like learning things from each other and whatever. But this was with Pokemon, so extra fun. And it's also nice to see these kinds of events happening because as far as our tourism dollars and how that impacts us, it's always nice to have big events like this happening in Roanoke and getting people in the door, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Who has seen some wind turbines in the region and has had their, like every time I see them, I'm like, oh, hey, that's different.
I don't know that I've seen them in the region. Where have they been?
I feel like traveling in Tennessee, I saw a bunch, possibly. Anyway, it always is like, oh, wow. You know, if you're traveling through like Europe or out west or whatever, you see them all the time.
Yeah, I was going to Chicago recently. There were tons and tons of them up there, which is, but we bring this all up to say that 4 years ago or thereabouts, there was a lot of conversation about a wind farm going into Botetourt County. It kind of died away, but that does not mean that the plans have necessarily disappeared. It sounds like they're still working to make it happen. They're just being a little quieter, perhaps because of some of the opposition they saw last time around. But yeah, it looks like there's more than likely going to be a wind farm on North Mountain in Botetourt County. So
it's a very, like, it seems to be a very well supported initiative to have, you know, most people support the initiative. It's just become more complicated with solar energy becoming cheaper and just all the different factors going into building and installing these turbines, which are huge, and making sure that there will be someone on the receiving end to pay for the energy created is the other seemingly remaining factor with it.
Yeah, so we will likely all have a chance to see those wind turbines here soon enough in our area.
Yeah, but that's exciting. I like the way they look. I think they're fun to watch.
Yeah, and it's. I think it's worth noting that almost everywhere they've been, people have been opposed to the idea of these things. And, you know, people think, well, this is going to destroy everything. And they become normal very quickly, I think. Mm-hmm. Not that I want to come out on either side, but I think...
Right. That's one of those things that they don't... People don't typically like it until it's there, and then it's like not as bad as you initially mm-hmm. thought. Yeah. It's better than hotels going in on top of mountains, in my opinion, at least.
That's very true. Well, speaking of things that have a right. great deal of opposition to them coming into the area, there's been an interesting, amalgamation of different things around gambling that seem to be making some heavy progress. We talked a few weeks ago or months ago on here about horse racing coming back to the Commonwealth and the likelihood of having remote places for people to do betting for horse racing.
Yeah, it's a very specific push in the General Assembly. The actual legislation is called, quote, Returning Horse Racing to the Commonwealth of Virginia. So it's pretty narrow. They're talking specifically about horse racing, but what's interesting is that there's not just like live on track sitting there betting on horses. They're also talking about the gambling kiosks they're called instant racing, which is betting on historical races with all of the identifying information hidden. So it's a game of chance, but for people who enjoy betting on horse racing, it's still a lot of fun and very engaging.
So, yes, looks like there's the likelihood that there are going to be a bunch of these at the Colonial Downs racetrack, which has been closed, but looks like it's going to be reopening soon. So, it remains to be seen whether that'll come through. But interestingly, there are some other proposals out there, including around a fairly massive resort and casino in Bristol, which needs a little bit of help. I'm not sure whether this is the right kind, but certainly they're thinking creatively about what might be the right way to do that. That would require some pretty substantial going back on laws that forbid that kind of gambling in the state. But who knows? They seem to have Bristol seems to have a pretty good lobbying effect because of how much they have need at the moment. And then additionally, many sports fans may be aware that the Supreme Court and other places have kind of opened sports gambling up to everybody at this point. So states are starting to take advantage of that. And there are a number of states that are already way ahead of Virginia on this. But I think Virginia is looking at that and seeing lost revenue, perhaps, and is now trying to figure out how they can be part of that sports gaming industry as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of interesting talk and perhaps action coming about gambling in the state of Virginia.
Yeah, it's a long story on the Roanoke Times that we read for this little segment, and it's very complicated because I think it's not just a clear, like, this is 100% good and ethical, and like everybody's going to get behind it. There's a lot of sort of cloaked stuff that makes it seem a little bit sketchy to me, but also I don't really understand the whole picture. I think there's just it's a very big picture. It's not as simple as just like mm-hmm. putting this new thing back in. It's going to give us a bunch of more money for the state to use. So we'll put this article in the newsletter for you guys to read through, because I think it's a very big question.
Absolutely. And the Bristol question is particularly interesting to me to think about that. And you know, it's interesting that of all the two things that Bristol is kind of hoping maybe turn it around, that gambling and marijuana would be the two that are perhaps
right,
top
true.
Of the list. It's probably not what most of Bristol thought was going to be the case. But very interesting.
It either shows a lot of progressive and sort of innovative thought or a bit of desperation, I think, are the two ways of looking at it. And no judgment whatsoever there. That's just kind of how it seems to me, is like some people will probably think of it one way and some people will probably think of it the other way. So we'll put this in there so you can read through it. It's multifaceted. It's got lots of different arms. So let's check it out.
Well, next up here locally, we've talked about how there was an opening on the Roanoke County Board of Supervisors. It now turns out that they've gotten 12 submissions to do that replacement. They're not going to be holding interviews, but I hope that a number of those are our listeners, because I would really love to think that we played a role in getting 12 submissions for this. Yeah, which is also fascinating when you think about how many people live in that area. I mean, it's not that many folks in the Windsor Hills part of Roanoke County.
It's great to see so many people that want to represent their community. So and great
Jeff,
job, guys.
I'm really hoping one of these is you. If not, we're all going to be disappointed in you. So. But, yeah, we should have a new Board of Supervisors member soon, which, as we mentioned before, is very important given that they're going to be hiring a new administrator soon, which is a big deal for the county.
Absolutely.
In another update, this is not quite an update, but we have talked about the trash system in Roanoke, which I think has been one of my most interesting things to learn about over the course of this podcast, was that we put all of our trash on a train and send it out to the dump, and it's dumped off the train and put into cars and taken into the dump. Well, apparently the tipper for the train has become broken, and it's become quite an involved process because it's a one-of-a-kind.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what a rail car tipper is, which is probably everybody, because who would know about that besides people who work in this industry, it's quite an old and unique piece of equipment that is going to require many months of sourcing new pieces and work to get it back in shape to do its tipping. So to mitigate that, they've rerouted trucks. Instead of putting them on the train, the trucks are just carrying the garbage right straight to where they need to go. But the unfortunate part is that they've been routed through a narrow, winding street that is very residential, called Bradshaw Road, and the residents are understandably quite upset about the wear and tear and all of the traffic that it's causing.
And they were kind of promised that this was not ever going to be the case, and now it looks like we're going to be at least January before.
Right. They said it was going to be quite temporary, and it's not quite as temporary as they said it was going to be, so there's just a lot of concern that this is going to be one of those things that just goes on and on for far too long. But
and it's, you know, as we noted in our past talk on this, that the analysis seemed to show that it'd be more cost effective to switch to truck hauling totally, and then build a new road that would not take folks on that Bradshaw road, but would allow them to go straight in. So this may be the impetus to do that. In fact, there's another article that popped up this week as well that suggested that keeping things the same was likely going to be way more costly than trying to change anything at this point. So all another day in the interesting world that is trash transportation in Roanoke.
Folks on Bradshaw Road, hang in there, though. I know it's been probably pretty tough. I mean, it seems like it's been very tough. So hopefully we'll figure out some answers for everybody soon.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like much fun. Our thoughts go out to you guys. So hang in there.
Speaking of stuff that just, you know, thoughts going out to people, there was a, you know, brief article in WDBJ7 about how the months of record-breaking weather is still impacting many of the towns in the region. The flooding, the tornadoes, the just all the storms that have, you know, hurricane related storms that have come through, though we are in a stretch of relatively normal weather. These municipalities and towns are still struggling with the impacts that cause, you know, millions of dollars of damage and displace many families.
Yeah, and there's a number of cities that are having to come up with how they're going to afford rehabilitation of things, whether it be, you know, the dam up in Lynchburg that almost collapsed earlier this year, whether it's just immediate emergency response costs, whatever it may be. There's a big push to figure out how we're going to pay for all of this stuff that clearly is necessary, and it's exactly why we have government, but is also not inexpensive. So
yeah, indeed. I think a lot of the damage that was done this year exceeded the rainy day funds, probably. It's, you know, worst weather in hundreds of years. So we hope the best for all that.
Yes, absolutely.
And now for some good news, mostly good news.
It's fun news anyway, right? So
yeah, I mean, we mentioned, was it last week we mentioned the CarMax?
Maybe, I don't remember exactly.
Was that what we were moving on to?
Well, I was going to move on to the ice skating, but we can
Let's talk about ice skating. This is fun news.
Yeah, this is just, you know, just an update for anybody that's interested. The ice skating rink is back at Elmwood Park, so you can go out with your little ones or with your date or whatever you need to do.
There's also at the Berglund Center where they play hockey, they do open skating a few days a week as well. And the ice skating rink is much bigger than the Elmwood one. So if you ever go to the Elmwood and see that it's crowded because it's itty bitty, head on over to the Berglund Center. I don't know the difference in price or anything like that, but there's not just one option.
Absolutely.
And also there's an indoor option if it's bad weather or too cold.
But go out and do some ice skating. It's good exercise.
Tis the season.
I guess. I don't know whether it's good exercise.
But it's funny to watch people ice skate.
It's very true.
I like to sit on the side. I don't like to ice skate, but I like to watch people.
I kind of agree with you on that. That's embarrassing, but that's perhaps just because I'm terrible at ice skating. But let's move on to the CarMax.
Yeah, story. Sorry. I jumped the gun on this because I think this is at least being presented as very good news for the city. I know some people probably are still in a little bit of opposition to it, but the lot that is now going to be a CarMax is officially happening. And the way that the news is presenting it is that they want in on our success, on Roanoke's success.
Yeah.
It's a vote of confidence.
And I will say that, it's a pretty decent price tag on it too, which will be nice to see. You know, we mentioned they're estimating $500,000 in cost for emergency care and such for the storms and stuff we've had in the city of Roanoke this year. And so to see $1 million going into city coffers for this land is probably not the worst timing for that in some
ways.
Right,
that's a good point.
Again, I think, you know, Matt mentioned a couple weeks ago that this was just, it was good to see that other places were seeing the possibilities in Roanoke and moving to take advantage of that.
I know that it's not the same feeling as when we were, you know, rooting for Deschutes to move here with the whole Deschutes to Roanoke campaign, but the folks from CarMax's side seem to have the same sort of energy as the people who were in touch with us from Deschutes that, you know, this is something you want to be a part of. CarMax's, they were in a lot of other cities that are on the rise or are bigger cities, so don't want to miss out on being here in the Roanoke region. So I think that's cool. It's nice to see everybody being so positive about something.
Absolutely. There are a couple stories involving Roanoke City Council that need note here now.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of them terrible, but interesting nonetheless.
It's a low bar. Just kidding. Well, this first one is, of course, something we've talked about a number of times, which is the possible needle exchange program in Roanoke City. And the story was about how the police chief came to present to city council about his hesitations in implementing this program and how our city manager, Bob Cowell, is tasked with bringing all the sides of this potential to some sort of agreement, either one way or the other, which, you know, best of luck to you, Mr. Cowell. That sounds very
Seriously,
difficult
yeah.
because there are a lot of very strong opinions in this case.
Well, I think it's interesting, too. You know, I don't necessarily agree with Police Chief Tim Jones, but I will give him a lot of credit for standing by his guns and coming out and saying this, because I think he's not in necessarily a winning position here. I think city council very much seems to approve of the needle exchange. The city seems to be mostly in favor of it. And so for him to come out and say, no, I don't believe in this, I think takes a lot of guts on his part, even if it's perhaps not going to sway the,
that's a very good point.
The outcome.
It's a controversial program. It's nice to see that our city council and city is receptive to it. It's a harm reduction method. It's not a, you know, 100% solution to the problem. Reduction, you know, indicates that it reduces the problem, doesn't solve the problem. But I think if it comes through that this actually is implemented, the police chief will have to work under that new rule. And that will be, you know, nobody likes to have something they disagree with imposed on them like that. So I hope everybody comes to an understanding and everybody feels good about it moving forward. And I hope it gets implemented, I have to say.
Well, I think it goes back to the whole drug law questions from way back in the past that we've decided to treat this as a criminal issue going back to the 80s and before. And now we're trying to move to more of a treatment view of it, but that doesn't align with how many of the laws are written. And so you're winding up with a bunch of folks kind of in the middle, like the police chief and police officers are here. So hopefully that we'll come to some kind of resolution. I do. It seems like there's a lot of momentum behind it and something will get figured out somewhere.
Yeah. And at least people are talking about it.
Absolutely.
The other one has to do with recess in schools.
Yeah, so this is, I think they've just had some success in the county perhaps with this, but that the more recess for the Roanoke Valley group went before city council and is asking for more recess for elementary school students. And I have to say I'm a big proponent of this and think it would be a great idea. So I hope that all the city council members are listening and know that Brad from Roanoke Weekly supports this.
Yeah, it looks like they want to extend... right now it's about 20 minutes and they want to extend it to 40 minutes per day. And I think, yeah, everybody seems to be pretty excited about making this change. At least the folks who are involved in the organization and some of the city council members who are quoted here.
Yeah. I mean, it's always, I think the schools, it'll remain to see what the school board comes back with. Cause of course the schools don't want to lose that instructional time, but I think there's an argument to be made that kids that have had a chance to play are more likely to learn, even if they have less time in which to do it, perhaps.
So. Absolutely. And as a non-parent who doesn't know anything about kids, I feel like playing also can cause, you know, learning opportunities as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Play all the time.
This next story is really, it kind of hits literally close to home for me. It has to do with the Murray Run Greenway, which is in the kind of Raleigh Court, Grandin Court area, that is a like 2 mile stretch of greenway behind Patrick Henry High School that goes out to Virginia Western, and kind of loops around in the park there around the river. It got obliterated during the flash flooding in the fall. Like some portions of the trail are completely unrunnable, unwalkable. And the actual woods part, the single track trail, has been closed since mid-October. And don't tell anybody, but I ran around the closed sign and it's not like it hasn't changed that much, but I think it was already in kind of rough shape. And now it's just, you know, it's probably dangerous for people who aren't super used to running on single track trail to come out there, and it's very accessible. So the good news though, is that Brad,
well, volunteers are helping fix it up, which I think is just great that there's people out there. You know, there's some great video and photos of folks literally,
they look like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
It's not like people are just coming out with rakes and like cleaning it up a little bit. They're like, they have power tools. They have different types of stones that they're going to lay that allow for all this drainage, which is great. So it won't get flooded again, or hopefully. And this article says that if you want to get involved, there are more volunteer days coming up. So playroanoke.com has that information. But that's just so great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. And if you want to get out and learn how to use these power tools, I'm sure that someone would help you. Maybe not run it, but you could certainly learn something from it.
Yeah. No, but seriously, thank you, because I run on this trail a lot, and I've been sort of avoiding it because I didn't want to make it worse by running on it. But it's nice to see people actually solving the problem, not just complaining about it like I have. So, you know, thank you.
Shall we hit up our spotlights?
Yeah. Of course, we're missing Xavier, and we'll have to have his food spotlight next week. But we picked one for this week that I think you like this place too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anybody who doesn't, but Breadcraft, we love you. Actually, I'm kind of remembering that we might have done Breadcraft before, because I think I mentioned how much I love that their portion size for their small salad is like definitely a full meal's worth of food, and it's cheap, and their baked goods are incredible. But I don't remember.
I don't remember that at all, but okay. That's good to know.
I talk about it a lot on Eat RKE, the food Instagram account I run, because I eat lunch there a lot. And yeah, the small size salad is like basically a large salad. The large salad is insane. So check it out. The sandwiches are great. The baked goods are amazing. Great little cafe in downtown Roanoke.
And also give them a shout out. When our daughter was baptized, we had our party, our after event at
the back room.
And it was a great little thing to have them do some little stuff and then have a little space to hang out in for that. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, great bread and pastries. If you are a baked goods connoisseur, definitely check it out. And they do, on certain months, they have like, you know, a lot of like German pastries or Italian pastries. Like pick a nation and do pastries from that region and like, you know, talk about them. It's really fun. So check them out.
Absolutely. And I do want to give a shout out this week in our spotlights to Wood Service Center, which I don't know how many of you all are looking for auto places, because it's, I feel like once I find a good one, I stick with them forever. And that's kind of how it is with Woods, in that it's not convenient at all for me. They're out in Vinton in the wrong direction for everything. And yet I have absolutely loved working with them. When I call and Kellen recognizes me over the phone, it's a, you know, it's a great, great thing. And so I want to give a big shout out to them for never feeling like they're taking advantage of us and just loving the work that they do for us over there. So
that's great. You got to find your people with that stuff. For arts and culture, I wanted to give a spotlight. Disclaimer, I have not taken any classes with this group, but I did get referred to them by someone who has. The Studio School, they've been around for 28 years. They're now up in Towers Mall in the inside part near the Wildflower Cafe in there. But I pulled out their website, thestudioschool.biz, and took a look through their adult classes and some of their kids' classes. And it just brought back this feeling of nostalgia for me, because when I was a kid growing up in North Carolina, I took a couple of independently run art classes as just sort of supplemental education, like after school stuff, summer stuff. And it really helped me advance as a young artiste. And I considered myself very into art for many years around that. So if you're looking for a way to get your kids to do some art classes, or you want to do art classes, they have a lot of different ones. Many organizations offer art classes in town, so I'm not trying to say I'm not weighing them against another place necessarily, but there's a lot of options here. They're ongoing throughout the year, and they're at all different times in the day, in the month. There's some that are just one class, and then there's some that are like eight classes for weeks in a row. So if you're looking to do things like oil painting, drawing, watercolor, water media, it looks like there's just like tons of different options here. Check them out. All sorts of classes seem like expert artists teaching them, and they're just sitting here available for you. So the Studio School.
My wife and I were just talking about where we would send Evie for her art classes and things like that. So very good.
Yeah. All right.
Any events that you wanted to share this week, Erin?
Haven't checked yet, so nope, but I will put some in the newsletter for sure. You know, now that we've gotten through Thanksgiving, we'll probably be back on a less thematic, more normal Roanoke weekly set of events. So keep an eye out on the newsletter for that. You can sign up for our newsletter at roanokeweekly.com. It goes out usually Tuesday mornings and has links to the podcast and all the spotlights and a couple of our stories, as well as events happening in the lovely city of Roanoke coming up this week.
Absolutely. And if you like what you hear, please give us a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this. It really helps other folks find us, and it's also just makes us swell up with pride and feel warm feelings inside, which as it gets cold is very vital. But thank you all so much, and have a great week.
Thank you.